Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Golf Shake podcast. My name is Ryan Rastall. I'm a PGA professional based up here in Costa del Leeds at the moment. It's absolutely boiling. And as usual, I'm joined by Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. You know, I'm really enjoying the jingle at the start of the podcast. I just find myself like nodding along. It's like, here we go. Do you know what I mean? It's time. Let's do this.
I just find it hard to time when the little dip in the sound comes to actually start talking. I get it wrong every week. It's all right, isn't it? Yeah. But, mate, we've had another busy week in golf. And it has to be said, last week on the podcast, we couldn't have got it more wrong when the Ryder Cup team was getting picked. I didn't realise it was getting done after the tournament at Cram. That seems crazy early for Europe to be picking their team. I'm sure when Harrington did it, it was after Wentworth, but I might be wrong there. But, it's all done. We know everyone that's in the team. We're going to have a chat about that in a little while. We're going to have a bit of a talk about both teams, to be honest. But also, I understand you've got a bit of a quiz that you're going to try and trip me up with as well, have you?
I've got a little something for you and for the listeners.
Okay.
Mainly for the listeners, but I have to do it on you because I've got no
I would say my Ryder Cup knowledge is not very good, so...
So it's just a bit of fun. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah, but I don't like being wrong, right?
That's fine. It's not really about you. It's about the listeners.
Okay,
fair enough. I'm doing it for the fans.
Okay, both of them.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, for once, I mean, I've watched loads of golf over the weekend, and just particularly because of our mate Ludwig that was playing so well. I did think I was disappointed with Fitzpatrick, if I'm honest. I thought he was going to close that out quite easily. But he had a bit of a mare on the last four or five holes, didn't he? And,
he did.
Yeah. I mean, to say he handed it to him, he didn't hand it to him. But I think he'd be gutted that he wasn't level par for those few holes and went into a playoff. Do you know what I mean? I think he would have been pretty annoyed at himself coming off the golf course there. But hey, we've got a new winner on the DP World Tour.
We have.
Only his fourth start, I believe, which is...
A star is born.
The guy who's promised a lot, you know, he's amazing amateur, world number one amateur, won pretty much everything there is to win in the amateur game, turned pro 80-something days ago, and he's won on the DP World Tour already. An absolute sensation by the look of him, another Swedish sensation, Ludvig Åberg. Talk to us about him. You've been talking him up for a few weeks, mate, to be honest, haven't you?
Yeah, I mentioned him a few weeks ago. I know he'd had some pretty good finishes on the PGA Tour. But you know what? Like most people, didn't really know too much about him. And I know the absolute golf nerds amongst us will know a little bit more. But, you know, I think for the everyday golf fan that maybe doesn't go in depth as some people do, he's probably come as a bit of a shock, a bit of a bolt out of the blue. But... you know, this guy, like you say, has had an incredible amateur career. He's been world amateur number one. He's, you know, and when you think players like John Rahm, Victor Hovland have both done that and turned pro, but it's just all happened very quickly for him. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think it's a good thing. I think you're probably a bit naive. He's probably a bit, you know, kind of just, he seems to have taken to it like a duck to water. And he looked comfortable. He looked composed. He, you know, he didn't, you know, look shaky or nervous. It looks like he's enjoying himself, which is the most important thing. I think that's that can be quite a dangerous combination.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised he got a pick. Not surprised.
He just looks completely fearless, and what a quality to have when you're just about to go into the first Ryder Cup you've ever played.
You know, I mean, he's not. He's not a youngster like, you know, it's not like he's burst onto the scene at, you know, like 17, 18, is he?
Not at all, he's 23.
Yeah. Just turned 23, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be dominated by his pick, I think. I mean, should we get into this now? So, obviously, Donald's had his six picks. Some of them, to me, were pretty much nailed on. I think we kind of alluded to this last week on the podcast that there was a few that, you know, the likes of Rose, Whichever didn't qualify automatically out of Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick was going to get a pick. And Lowry, I thought, you know, was love him or hate him, I thought was going to get a pick as well. Even, you know, Straka, I thought he'd be an uproar if he'd left him out. So it kind of came down to just a few players, didn't it, really? And I think Aberg made it impossible for him not to pick him by winning. And unfortunately, the man who's missed out is Adrian Meronk, who I think has had an amazing sort of 18 months, really, played about as well as he can play and not got picked. I feel bad for him, really. I still think we've got a good team, don't get me wrong, but I feel bad for him.
Yeah, so I kept changing my mind over picks all day. And I'll be honest, Sepp Straka is one that I kind of kept overlooking, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought actually he is probably a better pick. Than I think he deserves to be there more than what Shane Lowry does. I see people, you know, say to me, oh yeah, but Shane Lowry's a major champion, you know, yes, 4 or 5 years ago now. He hasn't had very good year. I know he won Wentworth last year, but that was a long time ago now. Sepp Straka's done well. He also done well with the match play, didn't he?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, look, I'm a big Adrian Meronk fan. I was absolutely devastated for Guy because I don't think he could have done... I mean, yeah, he could have qualified automatically. But I think the system is slightly flawed where he went over to America and played a few events over there where someone like Bob McIntyre didn't. And ultimately, I think that's cost him. I think you can sit here and make arguments for Shane Lowry. I think you can make arguments for Nicolai Højgaard, who, again, I'm a big fan of. I think you can make arguments for Ludvig Aberg. You know, because that's a guy for all the pedigree he's got, and you know he's came over and played two events on the DP World Tour to try and impress and get a pick, if you like. And I know he played with Luke Donald in one of the events, and he's finished fourth and won an event by shooting 6 under on Sunday, so it's super impressive. But this guy, he's not even played in a major championship yet, no, which I think is incredible when you think about
it. Record as well, isn't it? I was reading somewhere earlier, he's the only player ever to play in the Ryder Cup and never played in the major.
Yeah. I know, whilst I think he's a good pick, I genuinely do think he's a good pick because I think when you've got someone...
I mean, my only question with him is does it come a bit too early for him? And what I don't want is for him to get there and not
be like a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah, exactly. And
But you know what? So this is where Luke Donald as a captain needs to put him with the right player. Yeah. And actually, I kind of disagree with you there because I think if you're going to have rookies on the team, I think you're better off doing it at a home Ryder Cup. You imagine in 2 years' time, them having to go to America as rookies, whereas in 2 years' time, they'll have that experience. So actually, I like the fact that players like Højgaard and Aberg are in the side because they're getting that early exposure to the Ryder Cup. I mean, look, if I was Luke Donald, I'd chuck him out. Game one, day one, with Rory McIlroy by his side.
Would you?
Absolutely. Just chuck him in there.
Can we get onto this? Because I've actually done a bit of a mock-up foursomes kind of pairings thing that we can have a chat about for that first day. I may be literally a million miles away, but I've kind of paired. Yeah. I put four pairs together for both teams and also what I think the score would be between them.
Yeah, I haven't gone into that depth, but just on Meronk still, just going back to Meronk. So, you know, he will be kicking himself. He is desperately unlucky. I think there's an argument that you could have taken him over Nicolai Højgaard. I think you could have taken him over Shane Lowry personally. And I know people might lynch me for that.
The experience Lowry brings counts for a lot for him. And he is still a good player. Do you know what I mean? And do you know what? He could turn up at the Irish Open this week and win. And that's the sort of guy he is.
Yeah, no, absolutely he could. However, I think,
if I'm honest, looking at the way he's played this year,
some of the ranking
and some of like the reason he's so high in the rankings is because of previous performances. He basically gets in everything. Do you know what I mean? So he plays in every high ranking event. So
yes,
pretty much no matter how he does, he's gonna be up there in the rankings. Do you know what I mean? And in the European points list and in the world points list. So
yeah,
he's almost hard. It's hard for him not to be in the top 10.
Yeah, it is.
And has he played his best? No, but we all know what he's capable of. Do you know what I mean? We all know how good a player he is. Yeah. And under that kind of scrutiny and spotlight, for me, it would have been Højgaard that missed out and Morong. Particularly if you look at their world rankings and how they've played in the last year and a half, Morong, hands down, is the guy that you pick.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's the irony behind the fact that one of the other reasons why I like Morong is because he's won round the course, but then so is Højgaard.
Yeah, he has. Did he come fifth this year? I think.
I can't remember.
He is phenomenal. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just think Morong gives you, I don't know, he just gives you a little bit of something. You'd be scared of Morong, I think.
He's long and he's straight. But then again, so is Højgaard. Let me put this to you and potentially the listeners. Do you think that if Robert McIntyre hadn't qualified automatically, he gets a pick over Adrian Morong?
No, I don't.
Because I also believe, like, I don't believe that Morong's missed out because of Lowry or because of Højgaard. But I do believe that if Bob McIntyre hadn't qualified, I'm not sure he would have got a pick.
I probably agree with you.
Yeah. But, you know, look, it's interesting. You could sit here and argue for days. Yes, Lowry's got, I mean, we say Lowry's a bit more experienced, but he has only played one Ryder Cup before. Didn't have the best of records there, did he? But then we did get a Tonkin, so nobody really did that well. Mind you, he did better than what Danny Willett did when he played in the Ryder Cup. So yeah, but look, mate, ultimately now you get behind the team, right? I still think it's a strong team. And the fact that we're sitting here having this conversation, you know, just shows that there is a little bit more depth on the DP World Tour than what people think, or in Europe than what people think. You know, there's Seamus Power, for example, is another one that we talked about a lot. Yannick Poole was high up on the points list. Actually, Seamus Power, I've seen today, pulled out of the Irish Open and Wentworth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know if there's anything behind that. Even Bjork, like, this guy puts the lights out.
I think that was a shout. Yeah, I mean, he obviously, Norren was another one that I know he hasn't really got himself in that much contention, but I just thought with his experience and how good a player he is, might have a shout. And yeah, I don't know.
It's you know, some people find the form at the right time, depending on who else is in the team, the, you know, how many picks they're getting, etc., etc. It's, you know, it's always going to be up for debate. And I don't think any of our picks are as bad as taking Justin Thomas, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Thomas is a good player.
Don't get me wrong, he is. I just don't think
earlier to the Sky Sports podcast, sort of on my way home, and that the same kind of argument that they had for taking Shane Lowry was the same one that they said for not taking Spieth and Thomas. So it was a little bit contradictory, where they said, oh, sometimes the Ryder Cup can kind of bring your best form out of you. Yeah, they said that, you know, they didn't think Spieth and Thomas would play well in that same environment, which, yeah, like I say, I think that you don't become a bad player in one year, do you? I mean, Justin Thomas hasn't had his best season. No, he hasn't. But he's still capable of pitching up at the Ryder Cup and shooting some good scores. And if he gets on a roll, and particularly playing with his friends like Spieth and like Fowler, who knows, he can kind of gel with those quite nicely. And it's not, you know, particularly in the foursomes and four ball formats, it's not just you that's making the scores. So, yeah, I mean, he could do well there. The question would come with if he has a bad or a couple of bad sessions in the pairs formats when he goes out on the Sunday, whether he just gets absolutely obliterated by somebody, but I don't know. Yeah, we'll see, I suppose. But I'm quietly, well, not quietly, I'm very confident for Europe in the Ryder Cup. I think we're going to win, and I think we're going to win quite nicely.
Yeah.
Other than Scheffler, I don't really think there's that many players in their team which kind of scare me. Kepka's probably up there with Scheffler. The rest, I'm not that wary of. I just think the depth that we have, and particularly our kind of top 7-8 players, are just unbelievably good.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
And like we were saying last week, it's probably the best Ryder Cup team we've ever had.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good that someone like Matt Fitzpatrick has found a bit of form of late as well.
Yeah.
I think in Tyrrell Hatton, we've almost got the next Ian Poulter with that fiery temperament that he's got.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he needs to do a lot to kind of live up to that. But yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, he's a guy who's got no weakness, I would say. When you look at the way he plays, he's very straight off the tee. His iron's good.
Putts well.
Temperament really well. Probably is his only weakness, I would say.
I actually think that's a strength, to be honest, because, you know, I think if people like that, if they don't get it out of their system, it festers. And I think the longer it festers for, the worse it gets. You know, and I know lots of people don't like him for that reason, or are maybe slightly put off because he kind of lets it out as he does. But, you know,
it works
for him. Like when he wins.
I mean, I know it. I only say it's a weakness because I think as an opponent, it's something you could exploit. You know what I mean? It's something you could play on. I don't know. You know, but he's going to get a fight, and he's going to say some silly stuff. When he's
But he's. I always feel like he's almost at his best when he's doing that. You know, and when he wins big events as well. Do you know what I mean? He's you know, other than a major, it's pretty much the only thing he hasn't won at the moment. So, do you want to do some pairings then?
Yeah. Well, go on. I mean, we've obviously touched on the US team briefly. I mean, we talked a bit more about it last week, didn't we? Because the picks were already in then. But I just think when you run through the players and particularly the way they're playing at the minute, I think you've maybe only got five in the US team that are kind of that have been playing some nice golf during the FedEx series. And I think the other sort of 6-7 players are just not really playing that well. But yeah, so I've done basically a mock foursomes pairings for the first day of the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah.
Which team do you want me to do first?
Let's do Europe first.
Right, so Europe, I've gone top match, John Rahm and Sepp Straka.
Okay, you send them out, boy. Yeah, I like that.
And I've gone for the US, Scheffler and Cantlay.
So I'm just thinking of, do you know who I would put with Scheffler? And just because I was so impressed with how he putted at the Open, I'd put Scheffler with Brian Harman.
Yeah, maybe.
I just think in foursomes, I just think, you know, Scheffler is strong tee to green, and Brian Harman's.
There's things you've got to think about in these sorts of formats. So you've got to have players whose games complement each other a bit, but you've also got to think about things like the golf ball that they use.
Yeah,
and you've got to think about things like the types of courses that they do well. For me, I don't know whether this golf course might be a bit long and a bit undulating for Brian Harman.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why I would put him with somebody like Scheffler, who's so strong.
Yeah, potentially.
You know, that would be my thinking. But I'll be honest, you've put a lot more thought
into
it.
It's a good one because I suppose if he doesn't hit it as far off the tee as maybe Scheffler's used to, he's one of the best iron players in the world, so he can pretty much hit a green from anywhere. Right, yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk about I've done a bit of what I think the result would be between each group as well, but my second pairing is Rose and Fleetwood.
Okay.
And my second for America is Koepka and Schauffele.
A bit weird how people, because I'm looking at Koepka and I like a Koepka Homer pairing.
Okay. I don't know Homer why. Out on the first day. Well, first morning.
Yeah. See, I'm a big fan of getting rookies out early doors as well. I think the longer it can go on, the kind of more shaky they can get. That's why I'd send Aberg out first thing, get him out there.
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't got him in the morning ones either. But
okay.
I'd stick him out in the afternoon 100%, but
yeah.
Next one, I've gone Rory and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Don't know. Go on.
Against Fowler and Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, I like that pair. I do like that pair.
And then last, I've got Hatton and Victor Hovland.
Yeah, I like that.
And I reckon the Americans will put Spieth and Thomas out in the morning. So that's
they will, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they'll get battered.
Yeah.
I've actually gone here for the first match. So Rahm, Straka versus Scheffler and Cantlay to be a half. And all the others, I've gone Europe to win them.
Yeah.
So 3.5 half.
So I'll be honest, I hadn't thought too much about the USA pairings. I just think about Europe. And like I say, I would go with Rory and Ludvig Åberg. I really like the John Rahm, Victor Hovland pair. But Victor Hovland for me is, I feel like he's somebody that you could just put with anybody.
Like I say, the only kind of question marks about these come for me with the golf ball that some of these guys use. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know whether some of them, like Rory, for instance, I know has gone mad about the golf ball that he uses and how much it's helped him with his pitching and stuff like that. So maybe you'd have to pair him with someone who uses the same golf ball. I don't know.
Robert McIntyre.
Yeah,
Taylor May, didn't they? Or you put, like you say, you put him with
Taylor Made, or does he still use Titleist? I don't know.
I think he's Taylor Made. Or you put Rory with Justin Rose. But then I just like that experience of, you know, getting Rory and getting his arm around Åberg. I'm then looking at, so you've got Rory, Åberg, John Rahm, Victor Hovland. I'm then looking at the four of Hatton, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood and Rose. And I almost think you could get those four out in any kind of pairing you want. I think Hatton and Fleetwood would do well together. And then you could put Justin Rose and Fitzpatrick together. I think with players like, you know, if you wanted to get some more of the rookies out, like I wouldn't be adverse to chucking Sepp Straka out early as well with someone like Justin Rose, or Nicolai Højgaard with someone like Justin Rose.
I don't know whether Straka's maybe suited, you know, in hindsight suited maybe more to four ball because he's just an absolute birdie machine, isn't he?
So. You know, like I look at Højgaard, he's long and straight. You stick him with someone like Justin Rose, who maybe doesn't have the length that, you know, he did have a little while back. But yeah, you know, it's it'd be interesting to see. Like, to be fair, you're looking at the team and
I can't wait. And it's so exciting. I can't believe the week after we get the Solheim as well, where, let me tell you, I'm far more confident that Europe are just going to absolutely obliterate the United
States. It's a week before, isn't it, the Solheim? Not week after, a week before.
Sorry. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just going to be 2 weeks of class golf, really.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. So we've got, is it a Finca Courtesan as well, isn't it?
That's correct, yes.
I mean, that is a very nice golf course as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. Right, you ready for this?
It's quiz trivia time.
Yeah, it's quiz time.
I had a little jingle I could play for quiz.
Really, yeah, it's not, it doesn't need a jingle.
Does it need a drum roll or so? I've got one of them.
Yeah, go on, do a drum roll if you've got
hang
one.
On.
Wow, incredible. right, so basically, I'm just going to call out some Ryder Cup players, past and present.
I'm going to give you
two names. They're all people that you know of and that you've heard of that have played Ryder Cup recently. But we're talking about their Ryder Cup records and points won. So if I was to say to you, for example, Colin Montgomery and Seve Ballesteros.
Yeah.
Who's won more points for European Ryder Cup team?
I'd say Monty.
Okay. Do you think there's a lot in it?
I'm not 100%. I bet it's, I don't know. I think Monty's probably a few in from
Okay, so just for everyone at home, have a little guess. Colin Montgomery and Seve Ballesteros both played in 8 Ryder Cups. Interestingly, Montgomery played in 36 matches, returning 23.5 points. And Seve played in 37 matches, however, only returning 22.5 points. So Monty is a point in front.
Wow.
Incredible. There you go. So next two names is going back a little bit more, Tony Jacklin.
God, right, yeah.
And Ian Poulter. So they played in the same amount of Ryder Cups. Okay. What we reckon? Who scored more points, Tony Jacklin or Ian Poulter?
I think Jacklin, because he's probably played way more sessions.
Yes. Actually, that's basically it. So he's played 10 more sessions, but he's only won one more point.
Really? Right.
Okay. Yeah, so his win ratio is a lot lower than Ian Poulter's, 48%, but Poulter's 64%, but he's only got 16 points. I say only, it's a pretty good win ratio. Yeah, okay. Who has won? Yeah, I'm trying to pick players that have played roughly the same amount of Ryder Cup. So, Padraig Harrington and Darren Clark. Who's won more Ryder Cup points?
I'd go Padraig Harrington.
Okay. Listeners, you do realise in all of the quiz history, that is one quiz and this part quiz so far, that is the first question you've got wrong. Darren Clark has actually played one less Ryder Cup, but has returned 11.5 points, while Padraig Harrington's only managed 10.5.
Come on, Padraig, what are you doing?
Come on, Padraig.
One more later.
Yeah. What about Graham McDowell and Sandy Lyle?
I reckon Sandy's won more.
No, G-Mac. G-Mac's got more there. Yeah, only one more. Yeah. G-Mac's got 9. Sandy Lyle's got 8, even though Graham McDowell has played one less Ryder Cup.
I thought Sandy would have easily done that. Right, okay.
Actually, pretty good win percentage for Graham McDowell, 60%. Yep. What about... This could be a tough one. Luke Donald and Henrik Stenson.
Very tough. I'm going to go... Oh, God. I'm going to go Donald.
It's Stenson.
Oh.
Stenson.
You're going to go wrong.
Yeah, only by half a point. However, Stenson's played in 5 Ryder Cups. Luke Donald's only played in 4. But Luke Donald's got 10 points. He's
played in way more than Stenson.
No. He's got 10.5 points from 15 games. So that's a 70%. 70% win ratio for him. What about Martin Kaymer and Francesco Molinari? Yeah, Kaymer is up. I was going to say Kaymer and Casey, but they both got 6.5 points, and I was going to chuck a little red header at you. But only 6 points for Molinari and 6.5 for Kaymer, even though Molinari's played a lot less. Well, one event less, 3 matches less. Still a couple more. Let's go now. Tommy Fleetwood or John Rahm? Fleetwood. Really? Yeah, he's 5 out of 8 from his 2 Ryder Cups. Obviously, he got a really good record, didn't he, with Francesco Molinari. Whereas John Rahm is 4.5, so he's only half a point behind. But he has played one more Ryder Cup, but the same amount of matches, interestingly.
Go on, last one. Make it a good one.
Last one. Make it a good one. Okay. What about... right. Victor Dubuisson.
Right, Jesus. Right, yeah.
And Jamie Donaldson.
I would go for Dubuisson.
Jamie Donaldson. So it's a good one because they've only played one Ryder Cup each. Jamie Donaldson.
Was it the same one?
Yes, it was. Yeah, was no, 2014. Was yeah. It?
At Glen Eagles.
Yeah, at Glen Eagles, because Jamie Donaldson hit the winning shot, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So he won three points from his four matches, 75%, and De Griesen got 2.5 points from three matches. So he had a higher win percentage, but played one less match. So yeah, no, solid 2.5 points from three and one Ryder Cup. And actually, you go down the list and you've got players like Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who had 2.5 points out of three in his only one and only Ryder Cup. Alex Norin's got 2 out of 3 from his one Ryder Cup. Some good, you know, then you've got a fair few 100%ers in there. Couple of 100%, a fair few 0%ers. Danny Willett, Bernd Wiesberger, Andy Sullivan. Sorry, boys, but
yeah, good as well.
Yeah, when do you know, it's not until you look down a list and you think there's some big old names of
absolutely,
But yeah, there you go. That's your trivia. I hope you enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
On to this week then, Irish Open.
Yes, okay. K Club.
I've just looking at the start sheet now, and I've just noticed that Luke Donald has, I don't know whether he's done this on purpose, but tried to be as far away from when Adrian Mronk is teeing off as possible.
I'd love to know how that conversation went. I do wish that, just I know we're trying to move on to, well, I do think that I do think it's the right thing to do for Luke to come out and say, well, look, this is why I went Højgaard over Mronk, because I don't feel like we've had that. Not that he has to explain himself, but I just think it would be good.
I don't see what he can say to make you go, oh, yeah, I would have done that, because I just don't think there's an argument.
There has to be an argument, because otherwise he wouldn't have done it. Like, I don't think that's the sort of thing you do for the sake of it. But I'd like to know, like I said, I'd like to know what that was, what that is.
Because they both do the Hilton adverts for hotels, the Højgaards and Luke Donald.
Yeah, could be. I mean, look, interestingly, like you say, Mronk is in amongst it, though, isn't he? He's got Shane Lowry behind him. He's playing with Rory McIlroy. He's got Rasmus Højgaard and Thomas Bjorn coming up behind. It'll be all right.
I'm sure it will.
Strong field this week.
Very good, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, there's lots and lots of, Ryder Cup players in there, isn't there? And former Ryder Cup players, guys who are on the fringes, lots of players in there. And you know, as I say, just about every week, the ones I'm looking at are, obviously Dan Gavins and Marcus Armitage, who are teeing off later on, so Dan playing with David Law and Matthew Southgate, and Marcus playing with Alex Levy and Johannes Veerman. So I'm hoping they can make the cut, make some money. Dan's as safe as houses really this year with his card and is nailed on to be in the Race to Dubai finals. But Marcus really needs some money. He needs a good year. Needs a good week, sorry, and hopefully help him keep his card, because he's kind of slipping down the rankings a little bit. Fingers crossed he can find his putting touch again and get himself back up there. But in terms of the other end of the leaderboard and who's going to win this tournament, I mean, I've already spoken earlier about Shane Lowry, who's a fantastic player. Rory, this is the place where he won his first event in Ireland, I think, at the K Club. So it's obviously a course he quite likes. It's a very, from, I don't know the K Club very well, but from memory, it's quite an Americanized kind of golf course, isn't it? With lots of water and
loads of water.
Yeah. So again,
I'm going to tell you a story about the K Club, because I have visited back in 2017. Lovely place, lovely rooms, massive bath. Like, you could have done lengths in the bath. But the one. The one memory that always stick with me, and whenever anyone talks about the K Club, I have to tell them about what happened at breakfast. When, it's a standard, like, continental, if you want it sank hot, then you ordered it rather than kind of helped yourself. It wasn't like a buffet. So I really wanted a bacon sandwich. And I was absolutely blown away when I was brought over a triple decker bacon sandwich. It was out of this world. Bread, bacon, with a cocktail stick stuck down the middle to keep it all together. It was a thing of beauty. Never before, never after have I ever been dished up a triple decker bacon sandwich.
The Irish don't piss about.
Ah, unbelievable.
Not playing games.
No, and this is like a legendary sandwich. This, you know, people that come on this trip, they know about the sandwich.
Very unbelievable. Good. Well, hopefully there's some mammoth bacon sandwiches around this week.
Yeah.
Someone goes out and shoots some low scores. But if you're going to put money on anyone this week, then who's it going to be?
Moronk.
You reckon, yeah?
I just think, you know, this game is it dishes up crazy things. And I just think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be shocked if Adrian Moronk went out and defended his title this week. Because he is defending champion, isn't he?
Yep, he is, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so... but do you know, again, I'm looking out for Alex Fitzpatrick again, you know, because
I was just going to say that as well, you know.
He's really, really impressing me. I think it's very difficult when you've got, you know, like the Højgaards, they kind of come on the scene together. And I think it's very difficult. Like, obviously, I've heard him say, like, you know, he doesn't want to be known as Matt's brother. It wouldn't surprise me in 2 years' time. We're talking about Ryder Cup picks and we've got the Højgaards and the Fitzpatricks playing in a Ryder Cup together, taking up four spots.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
I think it would be brilliant. So, yeah, look out for him.
I'm going to go Connor Syme because he was so good last week.
He was. Yeah.
Very, very close. I think he could do pretty well. And who else am I going to go with? Let's have a look here. I'm going to go Adrian Ortegi as well because he's due a win.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I mean, we've got this, and then Wentworth, which is massive. And yeah. I think you're going to see an even stronger field there, aren't you? It's just, you know, I think you might actually get potentially some of the American players maybe coming over and playing in that. You never know because it's 2 weeks before the Ryder Cup. They all get a week off in the middle, and there's nothing going on the PGA Tour really. So it might be a great week for him to come across and have a bit of practice. You never know. Fingers crossed. We'll see some of the American team over there. But yeah, I mean, Matt, I've got nothing more to say this week. Have you?
Have you talked about
your golf this week?
Well,
Have you avoided that? Like for any reason or?
I know what you're fishing for. I know where you're going with this.
Right out the gate with how brilliant you've been. So this is telling me you haven't played very well.
No, do you know what? To be fair, when we recorded last week, would have been on the Monday, and on Tuesday morning last week, I woke up to, because I played well on the Monday, I woke up to my lowest ever index, 3.1.
Nice.
It's been solid, playing well, putting well. I then had a day out at the London Club last week.
I saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah, at the we played the international course, mixed. Yeah, I chucked a few birdies in on the day. I actually played
the international course, the one that they generally play tournaments on.
So they actually play tournaments on both of those courses. And what you find is the Heritage is the members' course, the International is the guests' course and the visitors' course. But when you look into it, the events are kind of split over both courses. Because it's really well kept.
When I played there, it was the week after they had a European Tour event there.
Yeah.
And the greens were some of the best I've ever played on.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get the greens at their very best because they'd been worked on a week or so before, and we knew that was the case, so that wasn't like a shock to us. It's a classy venue. It's obviously two really well kept golf courses. Like most places, like they actually struggled this year. The chap that we spoke to there said that They've actually had a farmer come in to cut down some of the grass, or the I can't remember which type of us, but basically it was stuff that he can donate to someone and put it to good use, because it's just growing so quick, like this wispy rough. But yeah, no, I played all right. I think I shot 6 over around there for a course that I've not played before.
That'll do.
That will do. Yeah, so that was nice. And then, yeah, what you're alluding to basically is the me quarterfinal match play last night. Played off scratch, played against the guy who's off one. Actually shot a couple under par in the second round of club champions this year. Just a really solid guy, really solid golfer. I went one up, but then lost 7-6 or 8-6, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just, you know, lost a couple of balls. I was just making bogeys.
Were you just bad and he was good?
Yeah. Do you know, it wasn't really, really bad. You know, I just literally, you know, I hold a 30-footer on the first for birdie to win that. And I thought, here we go. And then, you know, miss a green 2, didn't get up and down, miss a green 3, didn't get up and down, and he was just making pars.
Yeah.
Then I did lose a ball on our fifth hole. So you pretty much, you know, you do it a provisional, but, it's a strike index 1 anyway. So it's, you know, that's a tough ask. And then didn't get up and down on, 6, lost another ball on 7 in some thick rough that's still out there and just couldn't find the ball. Made a really good sand save on 8 for a half. And then when I finally felt like I was hitting the ball okay, it was just almost too late. And got to the 12th hole, which is stroke index 2 for us. I hit it to 15 foot, you know, my putt lipped out, and then he holed his putt for birdie, and that was it, game over. It was, you know, when I finally strung 2 or 3 good shots together, it was almost too late. So it's one of them ones, mate. I've hit some balls today. I popped in to see Jamie Donaldson at Woburn today, the aim point guy. Okay. Just you know, I've known him for quite a while. So yeah, popped in to have a quick catch up with him. Did half an hour of putts, hit some balls at the range over there. Feel all right, mate. Feel ready to go again. So I've got what have I got? I'm actually away Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. I will take the recording stuff so we can still do the podcast next week.
Okay, where are you going?
We're going up to the northeast. So there's 8 of us from Stowmarket going up to play at Gozick.
Oh, you said Gozick. Yeah, cool.
Bamborough Castle, Dunstanborough.
Nice.
Yeah, so that should be good fun.
We need to get some of the lads in on the podcast next week then.
Could try to.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play at St Ives on Friday afternoon with a couple of mates. So that's a few people know that because they've got the old Titleist Performance Centre there. I like playing there. I've got a couple of mates and members there, but they're about to undergo some serious bunker work, and I think while they're doing that, they're closing. It's just going to be like a 9-hole course for a little while, so they're basically after the 16th of September, I think they're stopping visitors so that the members can get on the golf course. And it was just one of them ones, mate. It really does need it because the bunkers is the only thing that lets that place down, to be honest. So once they've done that, it's, course will be in good shape. It's a good course anyway.
Very good.
So, yeah, so I've got
a busy week again.
Yeah, always, mate, always. What about you? So have you...
I've got a prom on Friday, which I'm looking forward to. So it's at Wakefield Golf Club. Which
Shaky Wakey.
New Year, Shaky Wakey, yeah. Not played there for a bit. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Playing with some guys that I've played with in proms before and are good guys. So, yeah, looking forward to that. In terms of playing golf, that's it, really. I've got plenty going on at work. I was supposed to be going to the Belfry, actually, on Thursday to a Callaway kind of fitting thing for the new Apex stuff, but... unfortunately, that's been cancelled and moved to the end of the month, so I've got to wait another couple of weeks for that. But yeah, looking forward to getting over to the Belfry. But yeah, it's just more normal stuff. So coaching, custom fitting, still busy. The shop's busy. We've got lots of golf days going on. Just all your normal boring club stuff really going on. So yeah, pretty steady.
One more quick thing.
Oh, come on. We haven't done our weekly... is this what you're going to talk about, yeah?
Yeah, he's still on holiday. He's not back
this
yet.
It's going to be his excuse, you know.
No, he's back. He said he's back the 7th, so I think he's back on Friday.
Hopefully he's been at the Butch Harmon School of
But I'll tell you what I did do, which I thought was a really nice thing to do. But because Pindar is slowly getting close, right? So the Pindar's the 8th of October. Right, so I took the time to go through the club diary and basically send him a list of every competition that's available for him to play in between now and then, that is potential chance for him to qualify.
You have to win it.
Yeah, so you have to win something to qualify. So basically, he's got a men's medal this weekend on the 9th and the 10th, so he can play both days if he wants. But historically, will crap himself in a medal if he's playing well. And look, he plays off one, right? Let's give the guy a bit of credit. So, you know, he's got to go fairly low to qualify. He's got a midweek Stableford on Tuesday the 12th, which I think probably represents his best opportunity. If you can get out early doors and get a good score on the board. Then there's President Stableford on the 16th and the 17th. He's then got another medal on the 23rd and 24th and a midweek medal on the 26th. So he's got 8 chances. And the actual message I sent to him was 8 Pindar chances in September, hun. Given 5 of those a medal, in brackets, no chance. Not many opportunities left. And I just got the yawny emoji sent back to me.
Oh, dear me.
Matthew. I know, bless him. I did say, do you fancy any of them in particular? And his reply was all of them. He might come back refreshed and ready to fire and ready to go.
He melts like warm Lurpak in the medal, does he, when he's doing well?
Historically, we have this thing about the 17th, and it happens to both of us. And now we're arguing, is it called, do you do a Lockwood or do you do a Holbrook? Where basically you've just played solid, you get to the 17th and you just make a double.
I think Lurpak legs Lockwood's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah,
you?
I think it has. Yeah, it's like a deck of cards just crumbles under a bit of pressure. Gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nah, it'll be all right. I'm looking forward to. Hopefully, I'll get out.
Fingers crossed for him. I want some good news on this podcast, Matt. And I'm hoping that it won't be next week because it's 2 medals. But after that, you never know.
I just think it'd be a dream. The dream result is for me and him to go and play the Pindar together. But yeah, I mean, look, pressure's on him. Pressure's on him. Welcome back. Welcome back, Lockwood. By the time you listen to this, you might be back.
I hope he is. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I do.
All right, that's all we've got time for, Matt.
Yep, enjoy your week.
We've got lots more going on. We've got loads of filming going on. We did some more last week, me and Tom. Did a couple of videos. What did we do last week? We did the new Apex UW from Callaway. So that video should be coming out pretty soon. I think the one came out this week for the TP Reserve putters from TaylorMade that we've done. So there's lots of stuff going on. So whether you go to the Golf Shape website, whether you look at the YouTube channel, or whether you see us on social media, so you can. There's plenty to watch, plenty to read, and plenty to talk about to help you play more and play better. So hopefully we'll see you all next week. From me and Matt. Bye.
See you later.